This morning, I'd like to invite you to turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 8. We're going to read the first 8 verses. 1 Samuel chapter 8, we'll read the first 8 verses. Now it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. The name of his firstborn was Joel. Name of his second was Abijah, and they were judges in Beersheba. But his sons did not walk in his ways. They turned aside after dishonest gain, took bribes, and perverted justice. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, "Look, you are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations." But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to judge us." So Samuel prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said to Samuel, "Heed the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. According to all the works which they have done since the day I brought them out of the land of Egypt, even to this day, with which they have forsaken me and served other gods, so they are doing also to you." For over 400 years, God ruled over the land of Israel. When the people became wicked, God sent in an enemy nation to conquer a portion of the land. When the people turned their back to God, He raised up a judge to lead up the people against the enemy and to teach the people how to live for God. The last judge that God raised up was Samuel. He was a judge, he was a priest, and he was a prophet of God. As the prophet Samuel grew old, he appointed his sons, as we just read, over Israel. But unlike their father, as we read, they were corrupt. They took bribes and they perverted justice. Notice, though, the people's solution to the problem: get rid of the judges and appoint us a king. I have noticed in my short life, pretty good, huh? In my short life, a trend in our own country to use illogical fixes for problems in a similar manner to this. Young people began living together without a covenant of marriage in greater and greater numbers. Well, what is the solution to this problem? Well, initially, people just ignored the sin. They just didn't pay attention to it. But now, laws against cohabiting have been removed from the books. It's no longer illegal. All that remains are a few laws against living with someone before a certain age. Like the early Gentiles, our youths have dishonored themselves. As Paul said in Romans 1:24 and 25, God gave them up to uncleanness and the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. But the tendency doesn't stop there. Adultery, while frowned upon, is no longer illegal. Yeah, I know it's hard to believe. At one time, it was illegal to commit adultery. And consequently, divorces are on the rise. I know this is a startling fact, and I had to check it just to be sure. But more homes are broken these days than whole. Now, by broken, I mean to a lesser or greater degree, either separated or divorced. I ran across an article recently, and the article was entitled, Marriage Debate, Promote It, Fix It, or Move Past It. And that caught my attention. According to this article, given the sizable body of research showing that children of a single parents end up with poor education, job prospects, health, and the fundamental issue, they say, is making sure that children are well cared for, whether or not their parents are married. Some even go so far as to suggest marriage is a part of the problem and not a part of the solution. Now, just a minute. Now, children from single homes and broken homes do as well as children from married homes. Therefore, marriage must be the cause of the problem. Now, you know, you might have to read that over a couple times. That doesn't make sense. This whole article didn't make a whole lot of sense. Now, is this really any different from the Israelites who had a problem with corrupt judges and their solution was remove all of them? It's the same thing. Same thing. Professor at Cornell Law School made this statement. This obsession with marriage prevents us from looking at our social problems and addressing them. Marriage is nothing more than a piece of paper. End quote. This is the attitude of society around us. Now, if that was true, then how is this mere piece of paper improving the lot of children in society? The same author goes on to say, for children, the important thing is that there is enough adults to care for them, whether it's by married biological parents or two or three or four others. If that's what we want people to do, that's what we should focus on, not marriage. Can you believe that? This ignores the large sum of studies that show conclusively that children do not do as well with non-biological parents. It's not just a matter of having a body there. It's not just a matter of having a body there. True, they are better off than children of single parents. I'll have to grant them that. But few single parents, now let's listen to this, few single parents live alone. They're single parents, but they're not living alone. They have a live-in boyfriend or a live-in girlfriend, have others around that, frankly, doesn't improve the situation for their children. There is evidence that children with non-biological parents do as well as children of married biological parents. But the non-biological parent is often hampered. And that is a problem. Why? There's less commitment. And that's the whole problem with marriage. They want all the benefits of marriage, but they don't want to make any commitment. When the road gets rocky, they're out the door. And the same thing is true with children. If the children, consequently, are misbehaving or hard to handle, no problem. Just leave. And leave the children behind. That is no way to raise children. And consequently, in such circumstances, there is a higher incident of abuse. Now, where there is no commitment, well, it's not my kid. See? And they treat them just however they want to treat them. We have seen examples of this. A man was recently convicted and sentenced to prison for life because a child in his care was abused, even to the point of death. A sociology professor at Johns Hopkins is quoted as saying, "The whole concept of single parenthood may need rethinking." I guess so. "It may be time to think about this term in terms of unions." Now listen, unions rather than marriages. They don't want the commitment of a marriage, but they think maybe better if they had a union. See, people just, they do everything to try and come up with these illogical fixes. Now, let's look at this same illogical view of fixing problems by discarding righteousness, and it's seen in the legalizing of the drug movement. Now, drug use continues. And at times we're losing ground. In fact, the war on drugs has been declared a loss. That's how most people view it. War on drugs has been, so let's fix the problem by what? Making them legal. What? Well, you saw how well this worked with prohibition. Certainly. And by the way, you probably think, oh, no, alcohol's not a drug. Yes, it is a drug. It is classified as a drug. But people wanted it. They wanted it. And here's the problem. If we legalize it, there won't be as much crime. Well, let's think about crime, and let's think about the hundreds of thousands of people who have died as a result of it. And I'm not talking about drinking themselves to death. I'm talking about accidents on the highway every year that kill innocent people. Why? It's because this drug was made legal. And it has cost millions and millions of dollars in medical care and caused countless heartache. Countless heartache. But there's another drug too. That drug's tobacco. Oh, yeah, it's a drug. It's a drug. And it's very interesting that the tobacco companies are now required to sponsor commercials on TV that tell you it was meant to be addictive. And even the so-called low tar is still addictive and still deadly. Really, really did a good job with that one. We agonize over its addictive qualities and the dangers that it presents not only to the user, but the secondhand smoke as well. You've seen the commercial. Fellow sitting there smoking like crazy in his apartment. And the little kids in the next apartment over. And that smoke, secondhand smoke, still gets through there. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm 100% behind a tobacco-free California. Absolutely. But I don't think I'm going to have much luck with that. Instead, I'm going to continue to just keep on paying my taxes so people who smoke and cause problems with their health and problems with other people's health are taken care of with my tax money. And that's not even the half of it. How can legalizing substances that we know are more addictive, and you know, used to be the cry was, marijuana is not addictive. It's not addictive. Let me tell you a secret. I know a fellow who used it. And he also smoked cigarettes. And by the way, he's a faithful Christian now. But when he was in the world, he did both. When he turned his life around, he stopped cigarettes cold turkey. That was hard, but he did it. But do you know what he couldn't stop? Grass. And you know what he told me? He said, if anyone ever tells you that marijuana is not addictive, they're lying through their teeth. He said, I have had more trouble with this than I ever had with cigarettes. And yet, the wonderful state of California is making it legal. Now, aren't you happy that not only every other driver who's coming at you on the freeway is under the influence of alcohol, two other drivers are coming at you that are under the influence of marijuana. Simple problem. How do you solve it? Make it legal. That's not the answer. That's not the answer. Illogical quick fixes. Usually, oh, that was interesting. Get back over here to my... There we are. Well, I'm sorry about that. Illogical quick fixes put us in a worse condition than we're in the first place. They cause problems that we didn't even think about in the beginning. Israel had some glory days with a few kings. But notice this. Israel constantly went downhill. They constantly went downhill. Within three generations, the nation of Israel was split in two. Now think about that. Think about it. Three generations. That's not hundreds of years. That's a relatively short period of time. Three generations. And the northern nation basically stopped following God and turn to idols. The southern nation's decline was more gradual, but it started declining and turning where to? Idols. In the end, I want you to listen to God's statement in Hosea 13, verses 9 through 11. O Israel, you are destroyed, but your help is from me. I will be your king. Where is any other that he may save you in all your cities? And your judges to whom he said, give me a king and princes. I gave you a king in my anger and took him away in my wrath. Israel got just exactly what they asked for. And God took it away from them. Now, has the situation of children improved by allowing people to live without the sanctity of marriage? It now is common practice for a couple to have a baby and then somewhere down the line think about maybe getting married if they don't break up, which they very often do. And how's the changing of the meaning of marriage going to help this situation? You see, we're advocates for marriage because that's what God designed. And so someone says, why, here's a couple of men over here who want to get married. And if they're married, that's good. That's commitment. So now marriage is redefined. How's that going to help the situation? And think about it. Will drug problems become a rarity if we legalize them? No, we just go from one problem to another one. That's all we do. That's all. And will marriages become steadier if we continue to accept adultery as the norm? Which society does. They glorify it and on the screen. People just accept it. Does that solve the problem? I want us to stop right here and think about something very important. Turn to Isaiah 55 and go down to verses 8 and 9. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. God is speaking through the prophet. God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now, I want you to let that sink in just a moment. Your thoughts don't count for anything. Period. Why? Because they cannot possibly measure up to God's thoughts and God's ways. Yet, we have a notion in this country, in this world, that we can fix society's ills by moving further away from the standards that God has laid down. And the further we can move away, the better off we are, we think. It doesn't take an intellectual giant to understand that man is too finite to decide between right and wrong. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 10 and verse 23, O Lord, I know the way of a man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. We need to remember that thought. Whenever we start hearing the arguments, seeing the writings about various things that are going on in the world today, as if it's a good thing. Why? I remember seeing arguments back and forth of adults, I should say, going back and forth about the legalization of alcohol. Well, I'm not in favor of it, but you know, it is a good thing. You know, it stopped the crime. Well, maybe we should have stopped the crime, period. Maybe we need a little more of Elliot Ness and put a stop to it. But oh no. Let's make it legal. Let everybody have it. And look at the mess it's gotten us in. Actually, what's needed on the part of everyone is an humble heart before God. In Matthew 11 and verse 25, we find these words of Jesus. Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent, and have revealed them to babes. All the so-called smart people in the world who are behind the things that are going on today, they don't know what they're doing. Those who are considered to be babes, if you will, are the ones that God has revealed these things to. God is righteous. And you know, last week we talked about justice. He's not only righteous, he's just. Following God's commandments will improve your life. No matter what society may do, no matter where society may go, following God's commandments will improve your life. But it can only improve your life if you are a child of God. Will you accept the call to become His child today? If you're not, He's calling you. Confess your faith in Jesus from a penitent heart. Be buried with your Lord in baptism for the remission of your sins. Coming forth from the watery grave of baptism to walk in newness of life. And if you have done this, but haven't been faithful, you've allowed the world to drag you in the direction that it's been going, you need to repent. Confess your sins to God. Ask for His forgiveness and know for sure that He will forgive when we come to Him with repentance on our hearts.